2021. Welcome to America's Top 10 Rated Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. As you and I are made to feel crazy, we're out of touch. We're painted as conspiracy theorists. We should go immediately get fitted for our tinfoil hats. We lose access to our social media accounts. We become restricted. Fact checkers, big tech move to silence us because we know. And up until recently, it was kind of this island feeling, right? Alone in the room. I don't know about you, but at times I felt like I was the only one in the room. It's easy to begin to question yourself in a world filled with mis and disinformation where you literally have to question everything, including your own knowledge. The entire system has been set up to do just exactly that. There's no denying that we're in the middle of a Marxist coup, and all you have to do is turn on your television news, pick up a paper, look at the cover of any magazine, tune into a Hollywood awards ceremony, catch a few minutes of the woke Olympics, or step into the streets of any democratically controlled major city in America to witness firsthand how propaganda works and why it has been so successful. It's everywhere. The virus is going to kill you. Only Black Lives Matter. The police are white supremacists. You must lock down, wear a mask, get injected to survive. Our history and everything about our country is racist, and so are you. Especially if you voted for President Donald J. Trump, who, by the way, lost the 2020 presidential election that happened to have taken place sometime between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning on the night between the 3rd and the 4th, you understand. You know it's kooky talk, and we're going to get right into it today because I'm excited. Seth Keschel is here. Now, he's been all over the place. He's a former Army captain. He's military intelligence officer, one of General Flynn's captains. And he has trends going back over 100 years that corroborate the evidence that he's going to drop here today. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it, brother.
Yep. Thank you, Stu. So glad to be on.
This stuff is vindicating you. It's vindicating me and everyone else that absolutely knows that Trump won. And so I've been really excited since you agreed to come on the other day because it's quite easy to understand as you look through this. So I just want to go through this because this is for the activation of those of us that know, right? Activate in the sense of a call to action to really apply pressure. So I was looking at this national map, and I'm gonna put this on the screen for everybody to see. It's color-coded here to indicate the level of fraud around the country. Green being little or none. Yellow is labeled as, what is it, suspect or moderate, and red is rampant or high. I'm not surprised at what I'm looking at here. So, I mean, this is matching up with my suspicions. I'm in Minnesota. I'm going to ask you about that selfishly in a moment in Florida because that's my stomping grounds. But let's talk about the controversial Michigan and Pennsylvania, if you don't mind. So starting with Michigan, you have a statewide graph here that indicates 2% growth since 2010. There's a red line. There's a blue line. There's some dashes here. Explain to the audience how to read these so that as I move through these slides and we get specific into counties, people will have an understanding of what they're looking at. So let's talk about this Michigan graph.
First off, all of my analysis is what I would call prima facie evidence of election fraud. So these statistics are anomalies that demand an explanation. This is my equivalent of finding a 600-pound person, and I need people locally to figure out where the soda and the donuts are, so to speak. So if you look at that map of Michigan, all 83 counties, none of them are in green. So nothing trended right. I analyzed trend. A lot of people that are new to my work don't understand what I mean by that, but I'm trying to triage and prioritize for the boots on the ground to figure out which counties are the most off from previous election trends. In Pennsylvania and Michigan, since 2008, you have a collapse of the working man's Democratic Party in the entire region, and that includes Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So you have this corresponding party registration number in Pennsylvania, which trends perfectly with Michigan. When 2008 to 2012, Obama is down 300,000 votes in his reelection. Romney can't connect with the working class, so he has a very modest gain. And then we have another 300,000 vote drop for Clinton in 2016, and Trump picks up about 150,000 and flips the state. First time Michigan has gone red since 1988. So now, forecasting 2020, the trend is not reversed, and Pennsylvania's registration trends confirm that the Democratic Party is absolutely going extinct in almost everywhere, probably except for maybe Oakland County and possibly Kent County, which is out west in Grand Rapids. So what we have instead is we have a historic Republican vote increase for Trump of nearly 400,000 votes, but caught from behind and then passed by a Biden vote increase of over 500,000 when the trend has been down 300,000 every year. An important number that I track is population growth. Population in Michigan is not something that's growing rapidly. 2% is barely even a childbirth gain. People are growing up, getting out of college and moving somewhere else for a job. The entire region began to trend populist conservative, not Romney conservative, populist conservative because of these trade deals that Trump campaigned against. So you don't have this pool of backfilling Democratic voters moving in. So once the bottom falls out of the working class in a state like this, you are talking about tremendous Republican victories. Nobody would have said Ohio is going to go 8% to Trump in 2016, but it did. My numbers in Michigan suggest that Trump carried that state by over 7%. And that is a conservative estimate because I was very light in my numbers around Detroit.
So you have, all of these are individualized. Genesee County, Berrien, St. Clair County. What do you got? Muskegon County. And then you have Macomb. Why is Macomb so interesting to you?
So Macomb is the county. If I could pick any one county in Michigan to do a full forensic audit in, obviously people want to talk about Detroit. You know, Rudy Giuliani's on right before me on War Room the other day talking about Philly being the major leagues of voter fraud, which he's right. But the steal in Philadelphia was not possible without shaving Trump's margins down in the Trump country parts of the state. So that was also true in Michigan. Macomb County is the home of the Reagan Democrat. This is a swingy working class population. Bush narrowly carried it. So when you show that slide to the audience visually, Bush carried the county narrowly by about 6,000 votes in 2004. And then you have a political dynamic that swept across the entire country where everything moved to the left. So Obama flipped that county and it came with a 15,000 vote Republican loss, but a Democrat gain of about 27,000 votes. This is pretty much taking from one pocket, moving voters to the other. This is why I consider population. You aren't going to have a new massive new pool of voters coming in. So then you have the falling away of the working class in 2012. He comes with a 15,000 vote Democrat drop. But because Romney was who he was, spineless, couldn't connect with the working class, didn't motivate conservatives to the polls, hardly any gain.
Totally phony, but complete fake. I mean, the guy, it was a puppet show. It was sick.
Anybody
who didn't realize that was an idiot.
So he thought just because he had family ties in Michigan that he was going to be competitive there. But really what happened was the margin for Obama fell from 17 points in 08 to 9 in 2012. So people often don't ask how much. This is what I ask. This is because the working classes fell away. And finally, when a working class Republican showed up in 2016, you had a tremendous move of the working classes, union types, towards Donald Trump in 2016. And Trump gained 33,000 votes over Romney. And guess how many the Democrats lost? 32,000. So it was basically a one-to-one trade-off. So you have a coalition shift. And anytime there's a coalition shift in a state with a stagnant or declining population, you're going to have tremendous swings. So this became almost a 50,000 vote Trump county in 2016. So now looking at Pennsylvania's trends, all of those counties, 60 of 67 counties in Pennsylvania are moving more Republican. The working classes continue to migrate to right-wing populism, not right-wing Republicanism, but populism. Okay, then in 2020, Trump gains a record number of votes in Macomb County, almost 40,000 votes gained. And this is in a county with little population growth. Some of my critics will say, well, you're not looking at population growth over the age of 18. Actually, my numbers are probably better for you, Mr. Skeptic, because the people that are growing up and moving away are over 18 because they're going to find a job. So you have this 40,000 vote Trump gain in 2020. Last time we gained 33,000 votes on the Trump column, it came with a 32,000 plunge for Democrats because Democrats are now voting for Trump, right? Well, instead, what we have here is a 48,000 vote gain over 2016 for Biden. 48,000 vote gain. My numbers suggest that Trump's numbers in Macomb County should be 70 to 90,000 votes higher than they are right now. So with this fraud from the bottom, so Macomb's still red, and it's still red by 40,000 votes. It should have been red by about 110 to 130,000 votes. So this is where you begin to get the numbers like this. It suggests Trump's margin of victory in Michigan was north of 7%. And this is not a reach because it swung 10 points in the last election.
Wow. Let's talk about the skeptics. So they're going to say, are they attacking the data here? Are they attacking the message, or are they more coming after the messenger? What kind of resistance have you seen?
As far as coming after the messenger, they're limited in what they can do. I've got a pretty solid track record of being accurate. I called 50 out of 50 accurate in 2016. They will sometimes go after my connections to General Flynn because everybody likes to hate on General Flynn if you're on the left, because he was once part of the Democratic Party and decided that he was going to call balls and strikes fairly when he worked in the Obama administration, and that did not really sit well with them. They try to link me to any sort of conspiracy movements, which is, you can look through every message I've ever put out on social media. I've never really had anything to do with any sort of opinions other than straight up fact. So, no, they don't like to expose the numbers and talk about the numbers because it demands answers. they can't answer how you just reversed two consecutive elections with 300,000 votes of loss in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and then all of a sudden you have record vote gains to put you back in Obama territory or over when the working class still voted Democrats. So no, it's not a successful inroad for them to come after me by going after my numbers.
Before we get to this, you've got four counties on a Pennsylvania graph here that I think are really interesting. Before we get to that, have you gotten into how this was pulled off? You know, by what means, whether it was, you know, electronic machines, whether it was satellites, whether it was Italy, China, you know, have you gotten into who the players are here? Or is that kind of somebody else's job that right now you're just pointing out, look, this is obviously it was stolen. This is fraud. And this is nationwide.
So the way I point this out, like that nationwide fraud map that I created, is designed for me to see it at a 30,000 foot view. And then the locals are ones that understand exactly how counties are doing things. And they're all different. The best report anybody can read is Jesse Banal's report on Nevada. It is a smaller dose, a smaller state with a really only one major power county that swings the election, being Clark County. And he outlines duplicate voters, out-of-state voters, dead voters. He's very explicit about how he gets in there in understanding the detail. I think that in the blue bubbles, you obviously have paper absentee fraud, dead voter fraud, out-of-state voters. You see a lot of issues with the southern parts of states and like the northern parts coming together. Like Boston is very close to southern Maine and southern New Hampshire, and you have a lot of red on the southern parts of Maine and New Hampshire. You have some of that from the Charlotte area spilling into South Carolina. But you definitely have electronic fraud. We talked about some of the issues in Arizona. Cyber ninjas pointed out 74,000 mail ballots that appear to have no record of having ever been sent, which was refuted by the county. But of course, now Cyber Ninjas has come out with the receipts on that. Many different ways of pulling this off.
So there was deep involvement by many parties. So when I say or speculate this is a concerted global effort, when George Papadopoulos is here on the show with me and says, the reason why Durham is taking so long, the reason why Flynn was set up, the same reason that I was set up, these same people were involved with Russiagate. They're the same people that spied on the president. I mean, all of this was a concerted global effort, which is why it's probably hard to nail down who's actually responsible for it, because everybody was. And that takes a lot. But I'm looking at this map here of the country, and these areas don't surprise me at all. I mean, these are the areas that everybody talked about. Just real quick, California. I mean, Trump won California, didn't he?
Trump has numbers in California that are absolutely mind-blowing, and there's other registration numbers to me. Now, as far as winning California, so the trends in California suggest that a left-wing surge, but a lot of states are showing me registrations appear to be the issue, because registrations are good indicators. New Jersey is probably a better one with a much smaller population to show that with, where the behavior of New Jersey is massive Trump support and a surge in a declining population state. That is one of the bigger surprises. Now, California, if Trump were to have won California, you'd really have to go back and audit 30 years worth of information and have millions of votes banked. But I will tell you this about California, Stu.
Yeah.
Two things can't be true. You can't have Oregon and Washington getting blue, or Colorado flipping, Arizona turning purple, Nevada flipping, and Texas on a 10-year plan to being purple, and still have California doubling its Democrat votes in 20 years. So both of those can't be true to me. So I do believe that California has a lot of engineering going on in it that makes it artificially blue at best to keep competition away.
So let's talk about these four counties, York, Butler, Luzerne, and Westmoreland counties in Pennsylvania. You have this. You have these four on one sheet. Why are these interesting to you?
That's a sample of four working class counties in Pennsylvania. And you can find those all over Michigan, just like the ones you talked about, Muskegon and St. Clair. Those four counties, all four, showed a heavy move towards the Republican Party in registration from 12 to 16, and you had a corresponding surge. And Luzerne County was also a Trump flip. Many know this by now, having listened to me, that Luzerne is the bellwether of Pennsylvania. Since 1936, whoever won Luzerne County carried Pennsylvania's electoral votes, regardless of party. Any Republican in that time frame also carried Michigan, because there's a perfect correlation between the voting populations in Michigan and PA. But with those four counties, all four showing a strong move towards the Republican Party continuing into 2020, Biden has reversed three straight elections worth of decline and turned into significant vote gains from the losing column, shaving Trump's margin of victory in those four counties by what looks to be like 68,000 votes. So that is 68,000 votes that Trump should have won those four counties by, more than he did in a state that's decided by 80,000 votes. And now you probably understand why Joe Biden is going up to Pennsylvania to go against these audits. 80,000 votes is a larger number than Trump won Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin combined by in 2016. So what exactly is the worry?
Yeah, I don't know if Biden would know that he's going to Pennsylvania. You mentioned an interesting topic. You mentioned bellwethers. Yesterday, we went through on this program some numbers, popular vote, how many counties were won. You know, Florida, Ohio, Iowa, traditionally, those are very important states in a presidential election. House seats is a reflection of, the popular vote, so on and so forth. Bellwethers, Obama had 18 out of 19 of the bellwethers. Trump had 18 out of 19. Biden had one out of 19. I mean, shouldn't that be an eye-popping statistic for people who are disputing that this election was tampered with and clearly stolen?
It should be, but of course you have to be able to cover all the bases and you have to have some defenses against this. But there are glitches in the matrix. There are some counties, even in some of the most rigged states, that seem to have avoided the simulation. New York City is a very interesting one I found out, Stu. Did you know that Biden's vote share in Bronx County only increased by 0.1%? It seems that there was very little interest in Bronx or in Manhattan, even. That was only 4% for Biden. There was a very tiny increase in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, which is Cleveland, which is not far from Pittsburgh, or Detroit, which had massive Biden booms after some decline for the Democrats. And there wasn't much interest really in Indianapolis, which is Marion County, Indiana. So a number of these Midwestern cities seemed to not realize that Biden was on the ticket, even though a lot of the key cities and swing states did. Now, the bellwethers are definitely a thing. So Trump also, according to any sort of reliable information that I've been putting together on Washington State, Trump carried Clallam County, Washington, undoubtedly. So he would have carried all 19 that had been perfect since 1980. Now, bellwethers do die off sometimes. Sometimes a state just becomes a red state. Like, I think Ohio is actually just becoming a red state. I think they're becoming Indiana, and I think Pennsylvania is becoming Ohio, so to speak. But even though bellwethers do die off, I like to look for some density. So I like that slide I have about the bellwether states where you have Ohio, Iowa, North Carolina, and Florida. Those four states have been won by the same candidate 13 times since 1896. And on all 13 occasions, that candidate has either been reelected or won the White House. Trump carried all four in both of his campaigns. Those four represent a very broad base. This is unions, this is rural, this is urban, this is white, black, Hispanic, Asian, everything. So those are a very good combination of states to be able to show that you are a big tent kind of guy that's going to get elected.
So I already blew through a break and I've got about 4 minutes left here. I want to use the time to kind of go around the national map if you don't mind. So sure. In Florida, we see specific areas that are red and a lot of yellow going on in Florida. So there has not been a full forensic audit supported there. Nobody's been vocal there. DeSantis hasn't been vocal about a full forensic audit. We know that electronic machines, internet connected, we can speculate that they were machines used in that state. I'm looking in the panhandle, specifically, it seems that that's really red. Hillsborough County, we know about Hillsborough County, Miami-Dade. I mean, these areas, what can you say about Florida and how important this was? I mean, even though, Trump won this state, but isn't it really important that we look because of the down ballot?
The numbers show that nearly every state needs to undergo an audit, at least in certain counties. The three ones that I would give a reprieve for are Iowa, Wyoming, and Idaho so far. And I think that in my tier three states,
why would you give those three states a reprieve?
Well, Iowa trended properly. So this doesn't mean that any counties that are labeled in green have no fraud. It's just that from where I analyze on trends, based on some states like Iowa give me party registration trends, those all check out. And plus, the upper Midwest is a little bit different with this third-party vote, which is why I have Wisconsin going to Trump, but by a smaller number than Michigan or Pennsylvania. So that is why I'm going to help direct the audit teams to where the issues on trends are, because trends are very obvious. When I show these to state reps that are coming onto my calls and I help have them guess what Biden's vote total in a county was based on the data I show, they're always blown away. So those are ones that trend clean. But with Florida, I think the issue is, just like Arizona, people don't ask that question, how much? So we consume this info off of Cyber Ninjas. There's 74,000 mail-in ballots with no record of having ever been sent. The next question ought to be, how much is Biden up in Arizona? And he's up by 10,400 votes. So do the math. That's the first time since a contested election began in 1796 that you're probably looking at a state that is improperly awarded in our electoral college that we have confirmed. That is a nation-altering event. So in Florida, we look at Trump's number, it moved 2.5% right. And by the way, Michigan and Pennsylvania have always gone in the same direction as Florida in every election since 1932. There's another sign. The first time they backed off of each other in 88 years. But we're looking at a 3.5% Trump win in Florida, which is much bigger than most anybody ever carries it. So I think the average brain out there is like, well, Trump blew Florida out pretty good. They don't need an audit here. They do. The numbers in Florida suggest at least a 6% win for Trump, which sounds crazy, but Marco Rubio gets numbers like that, where you blow it out with Cubans and Venezuelans, you get all the white conservatives, and then the Democratic candidate's not any good. Happens all the time. So Miami-Dade, it's a green on my map because you have this massive Trump boom, which matched the registration trends towards Republicans, and you also had a decline in Democrat votes, which really highlights some of the issues in places like Maricopa County or places like Harris County, Texas, which have similar Democrat vote totals year after year, but they all had 30% Democrat gains. Usually a huge boom by a party with momentum is going to take a lot of voters on the other side. But the biggest numbers in Florida, to me, it appears that the people that planned Florida were looking for a tight 1 or 2 point race. So the panhandle and a lot of the heavy coastal and Gulf Republican counties were cut into. Margins are cut. So Trump wins the county, but by 10,000 less. Santa Rosa County is a great example. You have the same progression since 08, the Republican Party picking up about 2% a year gain in registration advantage. And every time that's usually coming at the expense of fewer Democrats on the rolls, more Republicans, and then a bigger gap popular vote-wise. And we have about 10,000 heavy in Santa Rosa County for Biden, even though the Republican vote total is a record high. So that's how we get these numbers. These red ones are ones that are absolutely like, this is a Republican trend, massive corresponding Republican boom, but out of nowhere, this huge bump from the bottom in which they're losing the county, but by a lot less.
This is interesting to me because I'm here. I'm in Minneapolis. And so I'm looking at Minnesota, and when Minnesota came out like here in the state and showed what counties, you know, went to Trump, what counties went to Biden, very little of the state was blue. And that was specifically up in St. Louis County, which is near the Iron Range, you know, it's on the Iron Range. And this is Trump country up here. And then, of course, Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Ramsey County, the metropolitan area here in the Twin Cities. Of course, was all Biden. So these are the most populated areas that went blue, whereas everything rural, the rest of the state was red. Is that an anomaly? I mean, should that be, looking at it, it just seems strange to me. Are my suspicions accurate?
Your suspicions are accurate. The biggest tell on Minnesota is, it's certainly, it's back in my discipline, it's open source intelligence. Your attorney general up there, Keith Ellison, in the late afternoon of November the 3rd, he went on Twitter, and you can find this. It's one of the best pieces of gold you'll ever see on social media. He came out at 4 p.m. on Twitter, and he said, get your friends out to vote. We don't have the numbers we need to carry Minnesota against Donald Trump. That's what he said. He didn't say it just like that, but he said, you need to vote because we don't have the numbers we need right now. And then a couple hours later, the polls close, and Biden carries Minnesota by a number resembling Obama's win over Romney, who had no appeal to that population or the working classes. So you have this Trump number over 7% defeat after he spent all those days and hours and money and time campaigning in Minnesota, a state he did not need in 2016, and he presumably did not need to carry this year as long as he held the Rust Belt. So you have that first and foremost. But of course you have Hennepin County, which is interesting to me. I consider, when I'm forecasting Biden's accurate vote shares, I'm always generous towards him. I usually afford him a gain in these urban areas. 125% more than Obama has been my rule of thumb. But Obama 04 to 08 vote gain is the gold standard for counties that don't have a booming population growth. Okay, so Obama to Biden, Biden is 2 times higher than Obama's 04 to 08 vote gain plus another 30,000 in Hennepin County after 2 consecutive cycles of decline. Trump is up slightly in Hennepin County, but of course they blew it out there. We talked offline about the ballot harvesting going on with, yes, Ilhan Omar and her folks. Yeah. That's a big issue. Ramsey County's got similar numbers, but the two best counties that can be audited in Minnesota are Scott County and Wright County. Undeniable Trump country. Trump has equal or bigger numbers to Romney in 2016, and then a huge boom in votes in counties that aren't growing tremendously, and then a corresponding being tailed by Biden's vote total that seems to come from nowhere. So if you keep Trump's numbers down in Trump country, then of course the blue areas can overpower with the absentee game that's going on. That's how you go from a state where everybody's like, Trump's going to be neck and neck here versus a 7-point loss. My numbers suggest that Biden's on about 228,000 excess votes in Minnesota at a conservative estimate, which would have this state neck and neck. And I think that you have Trump with a narrow win up to about 3 points.
They're in my ear. I got to get out of here, Captain. Real quick, this is really important. This may be the most important part. Okay, so the evidence, this is incredible. You're doing fantastic work for that. Thank you. I mean, really, honestly, thank you. What is the call to action here? Okay, we've got this information. Now what?
Folks that are local, that have local knowledge of these counties, need to get plugged in with their first county commissioners. I have county commissioners and state reps from Michigan now after the event in Grand Rapids reaching out to me directly and wanting the info. So if you can show this stuff in plain sight, localized by county, and you can show these trends, you can speak to this and you can spur this curiosity. There's a county right there. I'm not going to name which county because I don't want to get this official in trouble, but it's one of these collar Twin Cities Republican counties that had a huge Biden vote gain. And this person saw this immediately. It was like, yeah, there's absolutely something going on here. And it's probably electronic. And now that county has kind of got the exclamation point over their head, like wondering what's going on there. So really you start these brush fires with the locals. And what we're after the truth. Okay, I'm willing to accept Joe Biden as the legitimately elected president, but over 100 years of trends and bellwethers and stats suggest that there's a lot of issues with the election. We're trying to convince 20% of this population that they need to be on board with auditing our elections, and I believe that we will absolutely find the truth, and I think it aligns with what you and I believe.
How do people get more of your information? I know that you're dropping it in Telegram. Is that where you prefer people go?
Yeah, so you reached out to me on Twitter. I'm very discouraged by how much they suppress me on there, so I'm using it less and less. The best place to keep up with me is Telegram, at Real S. Keschel, K-E-S-H-E-L.
All right, we'll put it on the screen. Captain Keschel, thank you so much for all your hard work. Thank you for being here, and we will hope to hear back from you. This is positive. This is really good stuff, and this is vindicating for so many different people. The Stu Peters Show will continue in 60 seconds. Go nowhere. There it is. Pretty hard to dispute. Make sure all of your liberal friends see this. Anybody who's in a state of denial right now is going to be easily triggered by this stuff, and that's not what this is meant for. We're looking for the truth. And, you know, as Captain Keschel said, if Biden legitimately won, we are here and willing to accept that. But the fact is, it is now indisputable. This election was stolen. There's no question about it. The only question remaining is, what are we going to do about it? Stepping on the snakes is something that you can do right now by going to steponsocks.com. The classic legacy version has all of the globalists on the bottom, most of them anyhow. Biden, Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi. Their names written clearly on the bottom of this sock, so you have the satisfaction of stepping on these snakes all day long. A three-pack, just $17.76. They are 100% Patriot designed, all cotton, red, white, and blue. The three-pack for $17.76. I knew you would like that number. Go to steponsocks.com right now. By the way, StepOn is diversifying. The trust in God sock is there right now. You can step on sins all day long. Plenty of other socks to choose from, as well as silver hats and the Second Amendment flag. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Ty and Charlene Bollinger coming up next. Part of this disinformation dozen that is being targeted. The globalists, the communists, trying to silence anybody and everybody who speaks out against vaccines. Points out the holes in this virus, the election, all sorts of different things. Nobody knows better than Ty and Charlene Bollinger. They are coming up next. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. You saw Governor Andrew Cuomo on television yesterday. This is a viral video. It's actually chilling. It's really quite scary. So the DOJ drops this investigation into these 15,000 some odd dead helpless geriatrics that Cuomo sent to modern day progressive death camps, knowing what was going to happen to them as he was inflating COVID numbers, refusing to use the assets that were given to him by then President Donald J. Trump to try to mitigate some of the spread of the what we are now knowing as a fake virus. There's no other way to talk about this. The fake president has actually issued a list called the Disinformation Dozen. This is really dangerous. So as Cuomo is talking about forcefully injecting people, taking them, removing them from their homes, shoving them into a car, bringing them to a medical facility and injecting them, the president, the fake president, is publishing a list with what he's going to do with it. I guess I don't know. But people that are delivering the truth about this medical tyranny are being labeled the Disinformation Dozen. This rhetoric is extremely dangerous. Some of the people on that list, a couple of them, are Ty and Charlene Bollinger. They're filmmakers. They join me now. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for being here. Really appreciate this. This is really dangerous rhetoric, is it not?
It is. Thanks for having us on the show, Stu. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And it is dangerous rhetoric. As a matter of fact, when Cuomo suggests that people that don't want to be vaccinated get you know forced into a car and they take them to vaccinate them, that actually is in direct violation of the Nuremberg Code. because these vaccines are not approved by the FDA. These are experimental. They're approved under the emergency use authorization. And so any kind of a forced vaccine that is experimental is by definition a violation of Nuremberg Code.
So there's people that have heard Nuremberg. They don't really know what the code is, how it was decided. But out of the atrocity, out of the horrific happenings at Nuremberg, came a ruling of sorts or a decision that was made that was kind of recognized globally, should be, that you have to consent. You have to have ample information, adequate information to be able to consent to these things. Obviously, in today's day, we're talking a lot about this COVAX or these so-called vaccines we know that are not vaccines. There's nothing on the inserts of these things. Pharmacists have no idea what's in them. Some Spanish researchers have revealed that there's graphene oxide in these things, which we now know is a toxic poison to people. There are indisputable thousands of self-recorded videos of people having catastrophic side effects. People are being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré. They're having unexplainable tremors. They're becoming magnetized. I mean, this is a really scary thing. They're talking about connectivity, 5G. Sherry Tenpenny was on here, also labeled it disinformation dozen gangster. So this is what the violation is with this Nuremberg code, is that it's impossible, Charlene, for anybody to have informed consent. Is that right?
Absolutely. The Nuremberg code, as you said, we must be given informed consent about any medical treatment. We should never, ever globally, as you said, be forced into a treatment against our will without the knowledge of what this treatment is and what the potential negative side effects would be. So what we're doing is we're just simply trying to inform Americans and the world about this vaccine and what it actually is doing from the government's own website, for example. And I know that you've been great to cover this. On the CDC's own website, the VAERS, that is the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, this is a place where the reports of adverse events come in and they're posted onto this website. So we have a number of, I think it's over 11,000 now, reported on the VAERS website of deaths from this vaccine. Now, just to put that number into perspective, and all of the adverse events on this one vaccine are close to 500,000. Now in Europe, it's double. So they've got double the deaths, double that, it's over 1 million. We're hearing from the Europeans over there with the adverse events. But here's the thing, Stu, with these numbers that we're looking at right now, just for the COVID vaccine, and we've been giving this for a few months now, this number of deaths and adverse events outnumbers the last 30 years of all of the vaccines combined by 2.5 times. This is one vaccine. There's something different. This shot is very dangerous.
Which begs the question, what is the threshold? 25 people died during the rollout of the swine flu vaccine program. The thing was immediately halted. Six right. beagle dogs died in a study at the hands of Dr. Jane Ruby. She shut that thing down immediately. Six beagle dogs. We're talking about somewhere between 11 and 12,000. That number was then redacted and reduced to about half that, which is 6,000, which would be twice as many people as died on 9/11 thereabout. One of the most deadly days in American history. There is a CDC whistleblower, according to the attorney, Thomas Renz. Dr. Brian Artis brought this guy out on a video. Up to 45 or 55,000 people actually dead. And that's just from one study or one document or one reporting system out of several that are out there. So we're talking, you know, if you want to speculate, the possibility is 100,000 or more deaths caused by this thing. The Korean War, I think, had 29,000 deaths. Just for perspective here, what is the threshold, or isn't there one?
There's really not a threshold, and that's the problem. When we talk about the deaths on the VAERS website, on the CDC's own website, we're called disinformation agents. We're just citing the data that the CDC's posted. And Stu, it does not surprise me, it shouldn't surprise anyone, that the CDC has now reduced that 11,000 down to six. They scrubbed some, I think they said they were including foreign deaths and they shouldn't have been. There's always an excuse.
Well, they were including US deaths that were reported by family members from outside of the country. So they were deaths that happened here, but they were reported from elsewhere. So that's what they said.
All right. So yeah, just more statistical manipulation, right? Bobby Kennedy, a good friend of ours who's also in the disinformation dozen, he's got a quote that he's like, statistics don't lie, but statisticians do. And you can make pretty much statistics show anything that you want. And that's what the CDC has been doing. It shouldn't surprise anyone. The CDC knew back in 2001 that the MMR vaccine was causing autism in black baby boys three times the rate of any other children, and they buried the data. They were actually ordered to destroy their documents. They brought a big trash can in to the CDC, and all of the scientists were ordered to throw away their documents.
So let's talk about this
because of the CDC whistleblower.
This disinformation dozen thing, let's talk about that, because this is really dangerous rhetoric as far as I'm concerned. This is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. The so-called president of the United States, the assumed leader of the free world, who doesn't know what state he's in, what flavor ice cream he's eating. He spills soup on himself. This guy has released a group of people on a list. What is the intent for this list? What do they intend to do with this other than just name you? Clearly, this is some sort of a signal to target you in some way, shape, or form. Have you figured out what it is?
Yeah. There's an organization that's we've revealed on our website. We've got a two-part article helping to people to understand who these people are that put the list together. They call themselves like the Center for Countering Digital Hate, and they've got a hit list of 12 of us, well, 13 really, that they want to take deplatform off of social media. This is what they're saying, Stu. And now first, the press secretary, Jen, mentioned us, the disinformation dozen. We're very dangerous people because we're responsible for up to 67% of the anti-vax rhetoric infusing the internet today. And we are responsible for keeping people from getting the vaccine. So she said that some platforms took us down. Facebook needs to step up to the plate and take action and take us down too. We need to be deplatformed from all of the social media, because they're saying if we're deplatformed, then people can't find us anymore and they'll go and get the shot. So they told us right there that their goal is to get the shot. Now she also said that they are monitoring Facebook for this kind of rhetoric, and they're flagging it, and they're working with Facebook. So this is the government now censoring. This is against our Constitution. And then we have Biden. He came out and said, well, Facebook is responsible for killing a lot of people because they're allowing this anti-vax misinformation on their platform. The next day, Stu, Facebook came and just punched him in the face and said, you can't say that. That is not true. And here's why. So then Biden said, well, no, it's not you, Facebook. We love you. It's those people, those 12 people, disinformation dozen. They're killing people. So this is their rhetoric. This is their message. And we know that their goal is to take us down off of social media. And we're hearing from friends on the inside, too, that they would like to come and take down our IPs so that we won't even be visible online. Now, there's always workarounds, and we're going to continue to do what we're doing. Yes, this is a thing. This is dangerous. This is communism. They're trying to shut us down, and all we're doing is quoting them.
So you just made a very serious charge there. That is eye-popping. You just said that you have friends on the inside. I'm speculating that you're not comfortable releasing who that is or inside of what, but you trust their credibility. They are saying that the government is going to possibly remove you completely from your ability to access the internet, so that you're unable to put any information, opinions, pictures of your cat anywhere online. You will not have access to the internet because your IP will be deleted.
No, they want to take down the specific IPs of the truth about cancer and the truth about vaccines, potentially.
So our information,
the information sites that we have up, they want to seize those IPs. And one of the interesting things too about what Charlene was just saying with Jen Psaki. She said that if someone spreads disinfo on one platform, they should be deplatformed across all social media sites. Now, and then Biden just repeated her rhetoric. He definitely didn't come up with the list. He couldn't even name the list. He probably can't even read the list off a teleprompter. But the next day, one of the White House aides came out and said, we should all get the vaccine because it will stop the spread of COVID. Well, that is patently false information, because none of the vaccines claim to stop the spread of COVID. They just claim to stop the symptoms if you get it. But none of them stopped the spread. So by definition, that was disinfo. The White House should be now removed off of all social media platforms because they are spreading disinfo, not us.
Clearly, we know that that will not happen. I mean, that's
right.
That is how blatantly obvious the bias is, and that they are in cahoots together, which tells me that there is collusion between the federal government, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of these different platforms. There is collusion to target a specific group of people, which is a blatant violation of human rights. I mean, they will never be held accountable. We just saw the DOJ completely drop an investigation into Governor Cuomo where the evidence is just blatant. I mean, he admitted to sending these people to his own death camps, Auschwitz-style quarantine camps. So the DOJ is corrupt. They have all but admitted that they are here to target anybody who supported President Donald J. Trump, basically is what it is. His rhetoric surrounding these vaccines, these shots being called vaccines, is that it should be your choice. Why do you think it is that President Trump, Ron DeSantis, Sean Hannity, Governor Greg Abbott, people who were warning or cautioning or should know the information that we have about these things, are not warning people and saying, hey, get out of the way, this is a dirty bomb? Why is President Trump continuing this rhetoric? Why is Governor Ron DeSantis doing a 180? And why am I being attacked by Newsweek for reporting on that 180? Shouldn't we be suspicious about these things? Very concerned?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we know that the mainstream media, in tandem with government officials, are reading scripts. So they're told what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And Sean Hannity, we've seen him time and again flip into the script of the controllers.
He's been reading from the same script. If you went into a coma 4 years ago, woke up this morning, you would not have missed a Sean Hannity show. He's been reading from the same script for many years. He, I can more accept going along with this. He's a good little obeying servant, and he does what his masters tell him to do, which is why his ratings are terrible and why he's falling drastically. I think he's number 2 on the chart of national podcasts, or number 72 on the chart of national podcasts, with a big red arrow next to it. And historically, I think the big down red arrow is a bad thing next to your name. But DeSantis and Trump really concern me. Do you have an explanation for this?
I don't get that at all. I don't understand at all why they are not sounding the warning bell. But with Trump, I can speculate is that he was sold a bill of goods by pharma, and he pushed for Operation Warp Speed, and now he's just sticking with his guns. I don't know, but I don't understand DeSantis 180, and I don't understand why Trump's still pushing this as one of the best accomplishments of his presidency.
Well, you know, with Trump, I know some of the Trump family, and I actually talked to Donald. He asked me what I thought about the vaccines when I was introduced to him, because my friend, when she introduced, she said, well, you know, she's a filmmaker. She's done the truth about vaccines and so forth. And so he said, well, what do you think about the flu shot? And so, you know, I was able to tell him about that. I know that from the inside, and we've seen from the outside, Donald talking about vaccines versus therapeutics. We were supporting him behind the scenes, bringing doctors that were real heroes and viable COVID protocols that were in the high 90 plus percentile of cure rates with, you know, Dr. Bartlett and other doctors like that. We had a team of doctors that were trying to support him because he was being attacked for talking about hydroxychloroquine and other viable treatments, light therapy. He was talking about cleansing the blood, maybe referring to MMS, but we were getting all of those things together, delivering them to the president. And I have video, I think on my Instagram, if it's still there, they took a lot of stuff down, but of the president on Fox News saying, you know, there's the vaccine, but there's also therapeutics. And if I had a choice, I would take the therapeutics. Now they say Trump and Melania, Donald and Melania got the vaccine, but did they? I haven't heard them say they got it. And Donald is always very clear in saying there should always be a choice. We should never force anybody. But remember, he is surrounded by swamp creatures. It doesn't seem that anybody's able to really extract these creatures from him. Big Pharma has their clutches in him and they won't let go. And so
I'm a huge supporter of President Trump. I think that he delivered the promises that he made. I don't think that there's been a better president in my lifetime, but I can't accept this anymore. At some point, yeah, it's a choice. Okay, good. I understand that. That is the freedom that we have. That's why brave young men and women sign up to make the ultimate sacrifice. They go to places like Afghanistan, just hellholes. They die in piles of spent shell casings, have limbs blown off, watch each other perish right in front of their eyes. I mean, these are young kids dealing with horrific things, causing PTSD, life-altering stuff to protect that freedom of choice. I agree with that. But when something is a dirty bomb, when you have a nuclear missile heading at your population of people, innocent men, women, and children are dying because they're being fed this propaganda and all of this misinformation by the people we aforementioned, Fox News, Sean Hannity, CNN, MSNBC, all the major broadcast networks, the New York Times, print publications, magazines everywhere, the Olympics, everywhere is full of this. You can't go anywhere without being pushed towards this inoculation. When you and I, Ty, Charlene, and Stu, know how many Donald Trump knows. He knows how many deaths this is causing. There's no way that this information has been successfully kept from him. At what point do you warn people, look, Operation Warp Speed was hijacked? No, I wasn't in a lab designing these vaccines. They are not what we thought they were going to be. These are not even vaccines, and they are killing people. Caution, be careful. There's a missile headed your way. Get out of the way. Nuke bomb coming. I mean, there has to be something. And this 5D chess stuff and the Q this and that, I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with it. There are people dying, and he needs to come out and say so. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Stu, I agree.
The Q stuff is...
Yeah, I agree, though, with the Trump. I'm done trying to defend him supporting Operation Warp Speed. It's total nonsense. People are dying. And there's a lot of... There's tens of millions of people, no exaggeration, in the country that are going to take the vaccine because Donald Trump said that it's good. He's not warning them, and I can't support him any longer on this. This is ridiculous, and it is a dirty bomb, and it's gonna murder tens of millions of people.
Now, Charlene,
it's gonna kill them.
To your point,
and that's the problem.
You said that there were, you know, people around him, gatekeepers keeping information from him, the people closest to him. I've oftentimes said that personnel was Trump's biggest downfall.
Right,
Jared Kushner. You know, I mean, these people want to go back to their really liberal lifestyles, cocktail parties. They've been outcast from social groups in a post-Trump political era, and they probably are looking to sabotage it. I think they're also enriching themselves off the sale of endorsements, but that's a whole other topic. They're dirty. There's very dirty people around him. And I do think that there's a lot of information that has been kept from him. For instance, the depth of the evidence regarding the election in November. I don't think he really knew until recently how deep this thing really is, how blatantly obvious this steal was. And you witnessed this huge transformation in his delivery of rhetoric when he went to Arizona just this past Saturday. I mean, he was on fire. I mean, I've never seen him cussing on stage. He was doing that. You know, he said they're going to realize, we've been caught, you know, and I don't think I've ever seen him so on fire about it. Now that he knows, it's clear to me, Trump knows. That's why I did a video yesterday, did an interview. The segment was titled Trump Knows, because I really believe that he does. And Doug Billings, the guy that was on there with me, he agrees as well. General Michael Flynn agrees that now he knows. So maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But I find it really hard to believe that President Donald J. Trump, with access to intel that would blow your mind and mine too, doesn't know that there are tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands dead as a result of this thing. So you guys are filmmakers and first came on the scene when you started exposing cancer treatments for what they were. And now you've morphed into, I mean, you're addressing all of the medical tyranny, which is what makes you so great. I am very grateful for what you're doing, by the way. And as, of course, and as the White House says, oh, the disinformation doesn't, and they're responsible for this rhetoric. Great. Own that. Take responsibility for that. What do we do now that these Governor Cuomo, he's going to force people into cars. Palm Beach County down in Florida just reinstated the mask mandates. I would imagine that Palm Beach is going ballistic right now. I don't think that people are doing this again. So what would you recommend that people, you guys have a lot of experience dealing with this medical tyranny. What do you think people do? How do we take our country back and just put our foot down and say, no, we're not doing this?
Well, we don't have to acquiesce to tyranny.
Just
when
say
they,
no.
When they come to your door, you know, you don't have to let them in. You don't have to get in that car. I mean, you look at Nazi Germany, those people, they didn't know what was on the other side of the train. They got in. They were led like sheep to the slaughter. We know those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. We know what's coming if we allow it, if we acquiesce to these tyrannical actions against humanity, against Americans. So we need to collectively stand up and say, no, we are educators. And the reason we educate is to save lives. We have thousands and thousands of testimonies and millions, many millions of viewers from around the world on our films, many of which were sent home to die. but they found our films and the content and they're alive and cancer-free, or they're no longer vaccinating and now they have healthy children. So the work and the content and the body of everything that we present to the world really is life. And they're attacking us. So what is their agenda? Do they not like the fact that people are living because of the content of our work? Are they killers? You know, what are they? What is their agenda?
And here's the thing, too, Stu, is the Second Amendment is so important right now. Without the Second Amendment, we're done, right? And so we still have the Second Amendment, and we still have hundreds of millions of gun owners and that are apt at using their desired weapon of choice. That's what we can do, is to we can protect ourselves against enemies, foreign and domestic. And as long as we have our Second Amendment rights, none of this is going to take place. That's why they're working on the Second Amendment now, getting rid of our ability to protect ourselves. And that's why it's so important to continue to be vociferous in our support of the Second Amendment. And one of the things you said, Stu, real quick, we went from cancer into vaccines. It's interesting. The way that we did was the first couple of documentaries that we did were on cancer, and then began to learn that in the early 1960s, the polio vaccine was actually contaminated with simian virus 40, which is monkeypox that caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in over 100,000 people that received the polio vaccine. And they knew, the CDC knew at that point that that this was happening, and they didn't say anything. And then we saw, you know, six figures of people that had non-Hodgkin lymphoma as a direct result of the polio vaccine. So there's certainly a cancer vaccine connection.
The CDC is not for us. And these are government agencies we are coming to find out as part of this great awakening. The CDC, the FBI, the CIA, all these people that are supposed to be here to look out for us, to protect us. We were raised to believe in these people as the upholders of justice and the rule of law. Our health, our medical freedoms are now weaponized against us, eliminating the freedom to do anything. They're actually, the FBI is actually working on setting us up. I mean, think about that. That's just, wrap your head around that. These are certainly extraordinary times. You guys have events coming up. What are they?
We do. We have the Truth About Cancer 2021 live, or Truth About Cancer Live 2021. It's happening in Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Resort. It's a beautiful place. We've got a room block, a large room block reserved with discounted rooms. It's going to be October 22nd through the 24th. We're going to have 6,000 people in person without wearing masks, no social distancing, complete freedom. We're going to be talking about the truth about cancer, the truth about vaccines. We're going to have heroes on the stage with us, from Bobby Kennedy, Roger Stone, Mike Adams, Judy Mikovits, Sherry Timpenny, and on the list goes. We're going to have freedom patriots and certain celebrities that are going to come out for the first time from Hollywood on our stage to stand with us for America, for freedom. This is the answer. We have to come together. We want all of your viewers, we want you, Stu, to be there. This is going to be the answer, us coming together. You say, well, how can we not allow them to take us and force us into the shot? By simply saying, no, we do not acquiesce to tyranny. Coming together and having that show of thousands of people together, hugging each other, living as God intended. So everybody go to thetruthaboutcancer.com. At the very top, there's a banner you can click on to see the event page and who's going to be speaking. And we want you to come, Stu.
Yeah, and be sure you go to thetruthaboutcancer.com. Don't Google and look for us, because you can't find us. They removed us off the platform. So you have to go to the exact web address, thetruthaboutcancer.com.
And it's right there at the bottom of the page so that everybody can see it, thetruthaboutcancer.com. Ty and Charlene Bollinger, wow, thank you so much for your bravery. Seriously, these are the kind of conversations that I really enjoy having. They're not scripted. They're off the cuff. They're genuine. They are real. And I can tell that your passion is authentic. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stu. God bless you too, brother. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. The Stu Peters Show continues in just 60 seconds as we will be talking to Deanna Lorraine. You will not believe how far the tyranny goes. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Extraordinary times. That is the only way to explain or try to describe the times that we are in right now. I mean, you have Governor Andrew Cuomo talking about driving people into a car, bringing them to a medical facility and forcing an inoculation into them. I mean, we have people who can't return to work. Pilots are out of a job, riding the pine on the bench. NFL football players are now coming out objecting to these things. There's never been more of an incessant push to get somebody jabbed, to get a needle into somebody, to push this. It's really quite confusing. Nobody better to talk to us about that than Dr. Andy Wakefield, who joins us now. We really appreciate you being here. So you are a mainstream physician. You were conflicted by what you saw going on, big pharma, medicine, the CDC, the FDA. You've now since turned to a filmmaker, but take us through this. I mean, you really were part of the original cancel culture. You were a victim of this. You didn't even realize that it existed until you were canceled. Take us through this.
Certainly. I was, as you say, an absolutely mainstream physician, graduated in medicine in 1981 and trained as a surgeon. I had a big research team at the Royal Free Hospital in London, which is part of the biggest medical school in the world, University of London. And we were looking at inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's and colitis. And then parents came to me in 1995 and said, my child was fine. They had a vaccine, the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, and then they were not fine. They descended catastrophically into autism. And this is a story that is very familiar to those in Minneapolis, amongst the Somali population in particular, who seem to be very susceptible to this particular problem. So I had a duty of care to these people. I had a decision to make, Stu, at this stage. Do I pursue what is obviously going to be a hot topic that could, you know, affect my career, or do I work for the drug companies and public health policymakers? The answer is no, I don't. It was a very simple choice. I chose to care for that child sitting across the desk from me, whose life had apparently been destroyed by a vaccine. And that's what I did. And that was a fascinating experience. It led to challenging the pharmaceutical industry's bottom line. And that was unacceptable. If you offend the pharmaceutical industry, there is no price you will not pay, believe me. And that is Rupert Murdoch and News International, GlaxoSmithKline, gathered together and took away my career.
You say that there's no price that you won't pay, I mean, there's been rumors, allegations, big pharma hit people, you know, they'll actually kill you. Is there any truth to that?
Well, let me just give you some hard facts on that. In the Australian Vioxx case, you'll remember Merck produced a drug called Vioxx, an anti-inflammatory. They knew before it went for licensing that it was likely killing many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people from heart attacks and strokes, but they licensed it. They did not disclose that information. And when doctors in the ensuing legal case in Australia where Merck were being sued, they read out a series of emails, internal emails, and the internal emails amongst Merck employees were talking about how they dealt with doctors who threatened their bottom line. And they said, we may have to isolate them and discredit them. And the last email that was read out said, we may have to seek them out and destroy them where they live. So that isn't conspiracy theory, that is corporate policy. So you're absolutely right.
And here we are calling them out every day. We're seeing more and more tyranny. So you are no longer practicing as a mainstream physician. You're documenting all of the stories that you have now compiled. So how did that transition work into filmmaking?
And I'd always been fascinated by the process. I loved film. It is a way of telling a story, taking a complex story and reducing it to something that was, number one, entertaining to people. They would want to watch it. And number two, educational. And three, absolutely scrupulously honest. So what had happened to me, Stu, is over the years, because of the position I'd taken, because of the stance I'd taken on vaccines and autism in particular, people had come to me from the pharmaceutical industry and from federal agencies responsible for vaccine safety and said, we have done a terrible thing, and here is the evidence. And so I became a repository for whistleblowers with extraordinary stories. And when my medical career, my research career came to an end, I thought, I am going to put these into film. These stories need to be told. And that's where we are now.
And you have a couple of films. Vaxxed is doing very well, right?
Yeah, three films. The first was a small film that we got led into. It was a tragic story of a mother who killed her child and tried to kill herself. And we had been filming this as a sort of before, during, and after. We were treating this child properly, medically, to get him well enough so he could get off all his psychotropic medications. The mainstream physicians had put him on 28 psychotropic medications, everyone making to offset the side effects of the last one. This boy was a tragedy, and he was violent and large and mute. In the end, the psychiatrists destroyed him again, and his mother, in desperation, absolute desperation, killed him and tried to take her own life. Later, when the film was out, the state's prosecutor in Illinois, who was responsible for putting her in jail for life, said, "I hear a film's been made, I want to see it," called back 2 weeks later and said, "Having seen the film, we can no longer prosecute this case in the same way. She will be released from prison next week." And that's what happened. And that was the first time in US legal history that that had happened. The second film, Vax, you're absolutely right, that blew up worldwide when it was accepted into Tribeca, into Robert De Niro's film festival, and then it was censored by pharmaceutical industry interests sponsoring that festival. And De Niro went on the Today Show, Good Morning America, 3 days later, and said, "We should not have done that. Everybody should see this film." And it exploded worldwide. So at that stage, the censorship, the cancel culture backfired on those who put it in place.
Did De Niro experience any fallout from that, any pushback?
People said to me, you know, they said, "Oh, you made this up. This is all false." And I said, "Okay, we have accused these five scientists at the CDC of one of the worst humanitarian crimes of all time. They committed fraud knowing that the children were going to go on and develop serious, permanent, intractable neurological damage. Their lives would be destroyed. And we called them on it. And if there was a word of this film that was inaccurate or untrue, they would sue us to the moon and back again. There has not been a whisper." Why? Because they know that every word is true. And so that was the extent of the pushback that we got. And then the third film just released was 1986, The Act. And that is the story of how in 1986, the US government gave the vaccine manufacturers carte blanche, blanket liability protection for death and damage done by their vaccines. And at that stage, Stu, they had the perfect business model. They had a mandatory market. Kids had to get their vaccines to go to school and no liability. All they could do was make a massive profit. And that's what they did. And they've become so powerful that right now they control the media, they control the politicians, they write policy, they control the medical profession, the medical journals. And this has allowed them to exercise such control over the governments of the world right now that we are in this crisis with COVID vaccinations that are, as you pointed out at the very beginning, being forced down our throats.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I've never seen, it's so unprecedented, Dr. Wakefield, to see a virus that needs around-the-clock advertising to remind you of its existence. And then so many people coming forward with things like patents and talking about this chimerically engineered virus and the set of symptoms, and it's not really a virus and there is no COVID and it's never been isolated. And how can there be a variant if the original virus has never been isolated? And now there's a vaccine that's not a vaccine. It contains God only knows what. There's supposedly graphene oxide in this thing now, and there's magnetism happening and tremors and multiple sclerosis and Guillain-Barré and tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands dead, even more, possibly millions globally who have had adverse events as a result of this thing. And it seems that there's just no threshold. The incessant push continues. If you were writing a movie today, I would imagine that you would have, you would be inundated to the gills with testimonials.
Yeah, you could never write this movie because the producers, the studios would say, no. This goes way beyond anything that's possible. I mean, it's so, as you put, you summed it up beautifully. There is such utter chaos surrounding this, such extraordinary disinformation going on. I mean, those of us on the inside said from the outset, this came from a laboratory. This is a laboratory virus that was part of gain of function studies funded by Tony Fauci from the NIH when it had been banned by the Obama administration in America because it was, you know not what you do. You are messing with nature and nature will exact a very high price. And that is exactly what's happened. And in my opinion, Tony Fauci should be held up for treason. And he said, and his words were, it's worth the risk. No, it's not worth the risk. You have absolutely no right whatsoever to take a decision on behalf of every single person in the world. And look where we are now.
No, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to interrupt, but you've heard what he said to Congress. Did he lie? Did he lie to Congress?
I believe he did. And I don't think that Rand Paul would come out and try and take this forward with the Department of Justice if he didn't have a very, very strong case. So at the very least, his evidence is conflicting. And at worst, it's a frank lie. And that's my opinion. So we are in a very, very difficult situation globally, because let me just give you one example. If you look at the mortality from vaccines since the inception of what is called the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System in the early 90s in this country, held by the FDA and CDC, then it is a flat line of deaths per annum until we introduced the COVID vaccines, and now it's gone through the roof. There have been more deaths from the COVID vaccine reported from this vaccine than all other vaccines given to everybody since this vaccine monitoring system began. It is absolutely alarming. If anyone saw that graph, if anyone were allowed to see that graph on mainstream media, they would immediately say, no way, no way. So why is this one being labeled as disinformation when it comes from official sources? And two, why are we not being given this as part of informed consent for these vaccines?
You just asked the trillion-dollar question that billions of global citizens deserve an answer to. Do you have it? Do you know why?
I believe that, in my personal opinion, having studied vaccines for 30 years and vaccine safety, that they are in a very difficult situation. Vaccines are failing across the board. I will sum up by saying they're failing rather in the same way that antibiotics are now failing with multi-resistant, dangerous bacteria. It is a situation of our own creation. And vaccines are now having that same problem. And so what they've got to do is throw a Hail Mary pass to restore public confidence in the vaccine policymakers. Not the vaccines, they're just things that sit on a shelf until a policymaker says this is what should happen. It's the policymakers in whom we have no confidence anymore.
Well, yeah, and I think, wouldn't confidence be better restored if you said this needs to be shut down right now? I mean, it's causing unprecedented amounts of adverse events. And you mentioned VAERS. They're throttling those numbers too. They're hiding data. It's changing. We here at the Stu Peter Show were one of the first to do a national story on VAERS. Right after we exposed it, Tucker Carlson over at the Fox News Channel ran with it. And then boom, the numbers changed. Those specific numbers that we named, that we showed on our screen, were no longer searchable. They were intentionally hiding this from the public. So when you say that they're doing this to reinstall confidence in these manufacturers or producers or whoever it is, I see this as the opposite effect.
That's exactly what it's doing. You're absolutely right. It's having the opposite effect. If you are honest with people, if you said, look, we made a mistake. We thought this was good for people. We've changed our minds. Not only will we stop this, but we will compensate those who've been injured by this policy, people would start to say, okay, that's fair. You thought you were doing the right thing. You didn't. And now, you know, there's going to be some equitable settlement. That's not what's happened at all. It's deny, deny, deny. With the idea that we cannot disclose this to the public because they're too stupid and they will reject all vaccines. They've completely misread the mind of the American public and people globally. People are far smarter than they give them credit for.
Could it be actually a plan of evil? I mean, could it be intentionally poisonous, detrimental, deadly?
The answer is absolutely yes, it could. Now, for years, people asked me this question, and people said, is this a population control agenda? And I said, I don't believe so. It would be such a clumsy way of going about it. And then I got involved in a story which you will know about, no doubt, and that is the use of a fertility vaccine developed in India by Western funding against women to prevent them conceiving or aborting if they do conceive, by linking a molecule called human chorionic gonadotropin to the tetanus vaccine to produce this chimera that stimulates an immune response so that the woman can't carry a child to term. That has been shown, that has been confirmed, that has been proven. So when that came out, when that story broke, then I changed my mind. I thought, well, all bets are on now, because if they have had this policy in place for fertility vaccines, no informed consent, dressed up as a tetanus vaccine program in developing countries, then something very, very dangerous is afoot here.
We have watched the film industry make an incredible impact on the everyday lives of Americans. I mean, you mentioned that your film actually reversed prosecutors' decisions and freed a woman from prison. She was going to serve life in prison. We've seen other documentaries, Making a Murderer, from the guy in Wisconsin, things like that. Those are the examples that come off the top of my head. But also, there are things that are supposed to be very sci-fi, very fictional, that are now showing that this was actually telegraphing what is coming in the future. For example, the predictive crime unit. People are now being arrested because they're suspected of possibly they were going to commit a crime in the future. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. It's unconstitutional. It's a violation of every human right ever, but they predicted this in Hollywood. So there is a certain power in film. There's no denying that. Are you anticipating that your films are going to have, if seen by the millions that should see these films, hundreds of millions, are you anticipating that there's going to be a line drawn in the sand? In other words, I never used to be an anti-vaxxer. The more I look at this stuff, the more I'm going, hold on a minute, pump the brakes. You know, and I'm starting to really open. I thought that these people were nuts. Film has made a difference for me. Do you think that that's what the trend is in the future?
Yes, I do. I think that it's from my position, I've come from dealing with the single patient on the other side of the desk to dealing with millions of people in film. And there's no doubt if you want to communicate a complex message to reduce it to something that people can understand and appreciate and changes their view of things, then film is the way to go. It's a very interesting point you made that Oscar Wilde said life mimics art. And you see these things, these films being produced by Hollywood, and you think that couldn't possibly happen. And it's happening. It's happening right now. It's even worse than Hollywood portrayed. And so Hollywood has a way of anticipating, the minds of the screenwriter have a way of anticipating man's worst contrivance. And that's what we're seeing now. So film is an extremely powerful medium. And certainly I intend to continue in this field for as long as I'm standing.
Well, I intend to continue supporting you because, I mean, I don't feel that I've done an interview where I feel more genuinely, you're authentic. You're an authentic person with an incredible background and a superior amount of bravery to do what you're doing. And you're absolutely right. Hundreds of millions of people, where can they go find these films? And how important do you think it is that they do?
I think it's essential they do. I honestly think without hyperbole, it may save your life. It may save your family's life to watch these films. And so go to 1986theact.com, one word, 1986theact.com. And that's where you will find those three films available for streaming, download, DVD purchase. And yes, please do that.
1986theact.com. There you see it. It's at the bottom of the screen. I'm also going to put that link up at stupeters.tv. I'm just absolutely enthralled. I could talk to you all day. Dr. Andy Wakefield, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much indeed.
So as these communists, the globalists, and big pharma will go so far as to kill anybody who's trying to bring out the truth in science is being suppressed. Anybody speaking out could be targeted by these people, and God only knows what their capabilities are. The CEO of Seventh Chakra Films is familiar with this. Lori Martin Gregory joins us. So you are a producer on 1986, The Act, and you see filmmaking as a way to trump this censorship. I tend to agree.
Thank you, Stu. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. Big fan. Absolutely. You know, we've seen over this past 12 to 18 months just how dangerous censorship is and how far these Marxist ideologies and the people pushing them will go. And what's become pretty clear, I think, to the masses, both in the United States and globally, is that health freedom is the stick that is being used to push us into this cage called the Great Reset. When you have, you know, basic information being taken away from the airwaves, you know, frontline doctors being taken off of YouTube, you're censoring mainstream doctors. You're censoring people that are dedicated to bringing science and health and medicine to, you know, the population. And they aren't even allowed to tell the truth because clearly real science isn't being told. So film is one of the ways that we get around that. And that's a, you know, one of the most powerful mediums anyway that we have is film. But being able to override, you know, these censorship tentacles that are finding their way not only into social media, but, you know, across the board on any platform is a win. And so going back to the days of even DVDs, DVDs are one of our biggest sellers because people have that film in their hand and they can pass it to other people.
Yeah, now it's thumb drives. You know, people are exchanging thumb drives in the street. People are handing out demos using a QR code, but that is still internet-based, and they'll shut down your IP. No question about that. We were talking to Ty and Charlene Bollinger, who have been targeted. Their IPs are going to be potentially deleted. It's shocking. You have a career in journalism. So when you look at mainstream media, particularly those that consider themselves to be conservative-leaning mainstream media, what is it that's being held over their heads? Why is, say, Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity limited in what they can say working under the Fox umbrella?
Well, unfortunately, and I'm not the first to speak out about this, you know, we love Ty and Charlene and the work that they're doing is so important. We work very closely with them. We work very closely with Bobby Kennedy. And, you know, everyone in our space has known for a long time that we are the hunted. Right? We don't have loyalty to advertisers. And what we've continued to see on these mainstream media platforms is that the news departments are owned by the advertisers, right? So in the old days of journalism, there was sort of a Chinese wall between the publishing side and the editorial side. That Chinese wall is completely gone. And all you have to do is turn on Fox News and watch the commercials. You know, ask your doctor. I mean, all of these pharma commercials that you see that are paying the bills and the salaries of these folks are really buying the loyalty of the newsroom, Stu. It's not so much that pharma wants to sell us their products. They want to own the loyalty of the people in the newsroom that are deciding what stories will be told. And, you know, this story has become the biggest story really of the century. What has been done in the lies that have been told, the gain of function studies that have been misinformed, misdirected. You know, there's so much to be uncovered. It's really a Pulitzer Prize sitting there waiting to be had.
Dr.
The question is, who's going to do it?
Right.
Who's going to do the story?
And Wakefield said, you know, look, you couldn't write today's movie because none of these filmmakers, none of these producers, none of these film companies would go anywhere near something like this, which is really a shock because there are billions of lives at stake here. Global citizens everywhere. I mean, this isn't just a United States issue. This is a concerted effort by every single country to get a needle in every arm. And the select few that said, no, we're not going to do this, end up assassinated. Their country's leaders were assassinated and killed. Do you see that as coincidence?
I don't see anything as coincidence at this point. We are literally fighting for the sovereign right to protect our blood, our bodies, the blood and bodies of our children, and the right to decide how we grow their immune systems. We are born without an immune system. God gives us a perfect system. We have a chance to become robust and healthy based on the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the environment that we live in, and the thoughts and prayers that we say or don't say. That is a very, very personal, sacred experience. And the idea that we somehow aren't even allowed to have this conversation is outrageous. Our Facebook page was taken down just over this past weekend on for the film, for 1986, The Act. And, you know, I'm surprised we lasted this long, to be honest. But in the process of releasing that film last summer, we knew that this was coming. We saw we were in the middle of a lockdown. And what we did was we created a streamable platform that we can use. And I'm proud to say that that film, 1986, The Act, which you can find at 1986theact.com, 1986theact.com. That film is still streaming globally, Stu, 24/7. It has been for over a year. And the first two companies that we talked to, which were American companies, denied our business because of the topic. So when you even have vendors that are censoring, and by the way, you know, my heart goes out to Parler. Parler had the whole world in their hands for a weekend and they lost it because they didn't see AWS coming. We saw AWS coming. We would have never gone out on AWS. We understand this space and have understood censorship. You know, Andy's been hunted for almost 30 years. So the opportunity is in film to tell the truth and get the word out there.
What can, you know, Joe Blow do? He doesn't have a
Joe Blow. Joe Blow can do a lot.
Okay.
We need all hands on deck. And I think the gift of COVID is that people understand now more than ever that health freedom is the stick that is being used to control and take away our freedoms. And as Candace Owens said so beautifully at Turning Point USA this past weekend, governments that take away rights don't give them back. This was supposed to be 14 days to slow the spread that's turned into a lifestyle. So Joe Blow can do a lot. What you can do is you can go to Team 1986, team1986.com. We are looking for 2,000 people that will partner produce with us. For $20 a month, you can become a partner producer. You can go with us for the long haul. You'll have the opportunity to be a part of something that's big, that is going to protect our families, our children, our grandchildren. We have to understand how we got where we are so that we can prevent ourselves from going any further in this Marxist insanity.
A lot of people, you know, and we've got about 2 minutes left here, but I think this is really important. It's kind of a tough question. A lot of people are really cautious, you know, of the grift. Why should I pay $20 a month to come over and be a partisan? Why can't I do something, you know? So clarify that real quick. Why are they paying the $20 and how are they making a difference when they do?
Well, they'll pay the $20, and what they'll also get is an opportunity to watch Vaxxed, which was the blockbuster film that Andy put together. We stream that 24/7 for free for our members or for people who come and partner produce with us. They'll also get a chance to hear the Andy Wakefield podcast in its entirety every week to have a chance to stay on top of the cutting edge of this narrative. This narrative is changing almost hourly.
I got to leave it right there. I'm up against a hard break and I got to go. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon. My good friends over at Verve Forever are offering 50% off. That's 50%, half off site-wide. Every single product at AmericaFirstOil.com is now half off if you use the promo code VET50. The veteran discount is applying to everybody. That includes you because we are all COVID veterans. Plandemic control of virus veterans. We're going through this thing together. And Tim Klund is a veteran of our United States Air Force. He's the CEO and founder of Verve Forever. He recognizes that. We're all veterans. We're all in this thing together. He's offering 50% off site-wide at AmericaFirstOil.com when you use the promo code VET50. CBD has positively impacted my life. Endoclavicular arthropathy, that's arthritis in my shoulder, a fancy way of saying I beat the hell out of my body in my younger days. I couldn't move. Seriously, I was scheduled for surgery until the control of virus pandemic came through, and then I was slated for reschedule. I never had to reschedule thanks to Verve. Now, what else about Verve? Well, it's veteran-owned. We know that. All of the product is sourced right here in the United States, right in Colorado. So you know where your CBD is coming from. So if you're already doing business with some other CBD company, but you don't know where your stuff is coming, could be coming from China. For all you know, it's got graphene oxide in it. Little nanoparticles. Who knows? Don't do business with those people. Do business with a veteran-owned company where you know the product is sourced right here in the United States and you're getting 50% off site-wide at AmericaFirstOil.com. It can help you with your stress, your anxiety, migraines, PTSD, ADHD, joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, all sorts of different stuff. Do the research for yourself. Go to AmericaFirstOil.com right now. 50% off site-wide using the promo code VET50 at AmericaFirstOil.com. Well, you can connect with the Stu Peters Show pretty much anywhere. We are in Rumble at Red Voice Media, StuPeters.tv. We're on Gab. We're on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I recommend Telegram. Connecting with me on Telegram is great. T.me/StuPeters. Uncensored, unfiltered, conversational. I'm in there with personal videos. You can catch my son maybe hitting a home run at his baseball game. Hockey season is upcoming. I coach. Yep, that's right. You can catch me umpiring baseball games. Really personal. T.me/StuPeters. You can connect with me anyway. If you get the injection, You can connect with me on 5G if you want to. How about that? Huh? Today's Money Minute is brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. Stop doing business with communist financial advisors. Everybody laughs when I say that, Carlos. But seriously, and we've talked about this before, but as the audience grows, by the way, now rated in the top 10 in America for political podcasts, so we know that we're growing. And as we do, I have to remind people that if you're doing business with Larry, you know, at Thrivent, Larry's probably a good guy. Might go bowling with him. You might go have a cocktail with him. He might be your neighbor. Maybe you get together at a picnic. I don't know. Maybe his son is friends with your daughter. All of the above. Great. Larry's a great guy, but he works for Thrivent. Thrivent is controlled by the globalists, manipulated by Wall Street, which is controlled by the Biden regime. The Biden regime answers to and is sold out to the CCP. So by virtue, by default, Larry is a communist. And you don't want to do your financial business with communists. Am I right, Carlos?
Well, you definitely don't want to do business with anyone that has handcuffs on, anyone that's going to promote company products. And last time I checked, that company, which I don't really want to say.
You can't say they're communists because of your licensing. I can say they're communists. Yeah. Great guys.
You can say whatever you want, but I can't say this.
The difference is you are an independent fiduciary, right? You're a God-fearing patriot. You're a husband. You're a family man. You're the CEO and founder at Cortez Wealth Management. You can keep people's investments here in the United States. But anyways, this is not an infomercial. Go ahead with your Money Minute.
No, it's all good. We do. I mean, that goes hand in hand. What I was going to say today is that when you have a company or an advisor that's backed by a big box company, they're very limited. We call them captive advisors. They only can peddle their company's products, and it's detrimental a lot of times to clients that are, you know, trying to diversify, and they can't even diversify outside of the companies that they're with. So having an independent fiduciary, we're company agnostic, so we don't care which company we get. They pay us, you know, we earn a living when you buy investments and insurance products.
Everybody understands that, and nobody has a problem with somebody making a buck or a commission if they're doing a good job. Speaking of doing a good job, making a buck, making a commission, Big Pharma's making a whole lot of bucks, big commission, as they seek more and more power here. They're perpetuating through the communist-controlled media this fear. The fear-mongering is happening. They're pushing people to the jab. And people are already fearful of the jab because they know how many people have died, the adverse events. People are not so much afraid of the virus because we now know it to be chimerically engineered, and we know it for what it is, which is a cold-like symptomatic deal with a 99.989% survival rate. But people are afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their careers. They're afraid of, you know, being kicked out of certain places for shopping, or maybe they won't be able to have their kids return to school if they're not inoculated. So the fear is really around being canceled and disciplined or punished for not doing this. Is there fear in the market, and how is that impacting investors?
Yeah, that's a great point, Stu. So there's something that really no one ever looks at until it's too late, and it's called the volatility index. And so you can pull up your phone and type in VIX. VIX is going to be an index, and this index is very, very important. Whenever we have a 2008 event, a 2001 event, a 1983 event, or heck, even a March 2020 event, the volatility index measures the fear. It's the fear index. It's the fear of the market, the consumer confidence of, do I really trust the stock market? And so when the VIX goes up, that means that there's going to be a lot more volatility. The VIX shot up over 19.0 today. It usually a healthy range is going to be anywhere from 7 to 11. And it's at 19 right now. It didn't shoot up in one day. It's been increasing as these flat, confusing markets have been, you know, the norm now with inflation rising.
So what do you attribute that to? What changed, you know, over the last, how long has this thing been rising? Week?
It's been going up the past few months.
Do you think that it's the rhetoric surrounding these shots? Or do you think it's, I mean, because COVID has been around and the market continued to go up, 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 while the VIX stayed relatively low. But now that people are starting to find out the truth about these shots being referred to as vaccines, I'm seeing it going up.
Long story short, the volatility index is a great indicator of volatility to come. And it's, I think the reason why we're seeing it rise is because even though people are having more confidence in this vaccine, supposedly, and, you know, real estate is opening back up. The real estate index fell 50% last year. And they said that as long as people are able to get vaccinated, this is the mainstream media saying this, vaccinated, people will tend to shop more and have more confidence. But as they're finding out, inflation is a real, real thing.
I think that's a really big lie. I think that that is the mainstream media once again lying. I think that people will be a lot more confident if everybody calls this what it is, takes their stupid masks off, unified non-compliance, just say no, all of the Chris Skye rhetoric, because he's right. You stop getting tested, you stop getting vaccinated, you take the masks off, you stop social distancing, you return to in-person learning, and COVID, the whole narrative goes away. And then I think the market comes back really hard. But as long as there's this question looming of, am I going to be forced into this thing? Is Cuomo going to be really doing this? Is he really going to be pulling up on me, you know, showing up, jumping out at my house with a gang of, you know, thugs, pulling me out of my apartment in New York City? It seems that the bozo de Blasio is on board with this too, abducting me, throwing me into a vehicle, driving me to a healthcare facility, and force vaccinating me, force jabbing me.
It's nuts, Stu. I mean, we're starting to see signs of a second, quote unquote, second wave with this Delta variant that they're trying to push. California is shutting down. And I think that consumers are starting to look at the market and starting to pull out.
And because this show is segmented and people may only be watching this segment, I feel the need to say this. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but the Delta variant is the vax. That's what this is. It's what is causing these people to be sick. It's this shot. They're referring to that as true. A variant, where we know that there can really be no variant of a virus that has never been isolated in the first place. It's physically impossible. Scientifically, it doesn't make sense. And nobody has been able to isolate this thing. If you have, bring it to me. I got people that'll give you $5 million, Mike Lindell being one of them. Also, nice. If you can discredit his election theft theory, which we bring more evidence to here every single day. So long story short, the market is volatile. The VIX is up, and it is time to keep your investments safe. I got to get out of here. I got to leave it right there. This Money Minute brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. You can find that guy at CortezWM.com, CortezWM.com. Also, sign up for those classes. The classes are at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Enter the password Cortez. They are free. They're in the evening time. You can cuddle up next to your spouse, your LBGTQMNOP partner, whatever it is, your dog. Grab a cocktail. They last about a half hour, and it's totally free. Until tomorrow at 6 p.m., here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radar.